Mary Oliver's poem ends, "Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, announcing your place in the family of things." Everyone has a different place in the world, in nature, within our families, our workplaces, and here at BOOF. Even though we come from various backgrounds and have different perspectives, we all have a lot we can learn from one another and contribute to the whole. There are people here at BOOF who may share many similar experiences, ideas, and perspectives to our own. As some of you know now, we have started a group called Medians. It's a gathering of youngish adults from ages approximately 20 to 40 from our congregation. One theme that keeps surfacing during our conversations is how various age groups and generations differ from one another. Each generation has unique struggles, worries, and ways of living and being in the world. For me, and many people around my age, student loan debt has a significant influence on our lives. This debt often affects whether someone can own a car, buy a house, or sometimes even afford the rent. I recently read an article in The Atlantic magazine titled "The Cheapest Generation," and it talked about and hypothesized why millennials, or Generation Y, aren't buying houses or cars as much as our predecessors. I'm actually on the borderlines of Generations X and Y and do own a car and a house, but I have many friends that do not. According to the article, in my own experience, I think this shift is multifactorial. First, the college debt that we have and difficulty finding adequately paying jobs affects how much we can spend. Second, the article points out that some people say my generation is characterized by eco-conscious individualism. This is manifested through shifts in tastes, spending habits, and what we deem as important. They also describe the emergence of a sharing economy, sharing of houses, cars in bigger cities, clothes, etc. Another influential change in culture in the last several years that has had a big influence on the youngish generation are the changes in technology. Smartphones are taking the place of other big ticket items. And according to the article I referred to, quote, "You no longer need to feel connected to your friends with a car when you have this technology that is so ubiquitous it transcends time and space," end quote. Smartphones have empowered people of our generation to maintain friendships from a distance. In a world where we have so much information and communication at our fingertips via the internet, Facebook, Twitter, texting, etc., I feel like there has been a shift in some of my relationships in the last several years. While I am connected to more people than I probably would be otherwise, I also feel like I get a lot of mundane day-to-day details about people's lives that don't really strengthen or deepen my relationships with them. I sometimes struggle with these two conflicting realities. Social media is a part of today's world, whether we like it or not, and there are many relationships that exist only because of this technology. However, I know that I still cherish face-to-face interactions and getting to know people through good old-fashioned conversations. This is what partly led me to BOOF. I was raised in a very Catholic family and attended church on a regular basis. And while I needed some time away from organized religion after I moved away from home, I became one of the many people who state their religious affiliation is none. Nuns, N-O-N-E-S, make up 15% of the total population in the U.S. This jumps to 22% for adults ages 18 to 29. Researchers forecast that 1 in 5 Americans will consider themselves nuns in 20 years. While my beliefs, theology, and connection to a religious community have ebbed and flowed over the years, I would say I currently most identify myself as an agnostic humanist. During my time away from organized religion, I found myself missing that community aspect and support system that fellowships like BOOF can provide. In our busy world, I find it important to have some downtime, and coming to BOOF provides time to unplug, slow down, breathe, listen, and think. It helps with my overall mental and spiritual wellness and sanity. I find that BOOF makes me think and reminds me of our humanness and our connection and interdependence as humans. We can all learn things from one another, and I think it is important to get the perspective of people who are different from us. In our congregation, I have enjoyed interacting with babies in the nursery, kids with in RE, as well as chatting with some gray hairs over coffee. I value opportunities to learn from people with various family and religious backgrounds, different political leanings, and older and younger generations. I have a challenge for everyone today to help try to bridge that gap that we sometimes seem to have between generations. After the service, find someone from a different generation and find at least one thing you have in common. I bet it will be easier than you think. You can start with some timeless conversation topics, such as, what is your favorite book or movie? What is one of your favorite family traditions? Where did you grow up? You will likely hear some interesting stories, and you might just make a new friend.
Story. Ever since I completed my bachelor's in theater arts, it seems I'm always looking for the story. The context, or the narrative, if you will. I can only guess at the milepost markers of other generations. Are you too young to remember Burmashave road signs? Houses before indoor plumbing? My mom used to tell me tales along those lines, as well as lambasting me with old-style country like Johnny Horton or Jim Reeves. Does the film The Last Picture Show mean more to you than Easy Rider? I always have this searching subtext in my mind. Whenever I talk to someone outside of my generation, I try to find those contextual points so I can better understand your story to tell you mine. My generation looks to movies like Better Off Dead, that's a comedy. Or The Breakfast Club, not really a comedy. Actually, looking back, it's kind of whiny, but my 20s brings to mind movies like Fight Club, with the idea of a life unconnected and single-serving friends. Books like The End of History by Fukuyama, as if the fall of a single wall in the middle of Europe would signify the end of all recording time. Recorded time. We are still here, right? Now, in my youth, the 80s, computers were barely gaming machines, but they could be a window to a new world of relationships. Online chat, or as CompuServe first called it, CB Simulator. I had conversations across bounds of age, background, and experience. Before the days of no one knows that you're a dog on the internet, we had conversations freeform that were new and that you didn't have to have any context for the person you were conversing with. At the age of 12, my friends ranged from 14 to 75. Mostly near Anchorage, Alaska. Ralph Watson, 75, was just as earnest in showing me Windows 2.1. Yeah, I know. Or ham radio with no presupposed limits on my understanding. I felt no difference in conversing with him, someone of 35 or 15. Age, background, or even gender seemed secondary to who the person was, or at least what they wished to present. I decided at a much more seasoned age of 14 that I would abandon the world of bulletin board systems, BBS. They could be single or multi-line. I wanted to meet people face-to-face first rather than as ethereal conversations that would happen over minutes or weeks. Starting my freshman year of high school, I abandoned band and went with theater and never looked back. Who knew how much the world would catch up with me after I abandoned or catch up with my childhood while I was pursuing other interests? One of my best friends was from that time, and we still chat on the phone. My parents were the generation before the baby boomers, the silence. I am the youngest of three. I learned please, thank you, sir and ma'am. I very rarely use Mr. and Ms. But sir and ma'am are hard habits to break. I use ancient words like curmudgeonly. The biggest thing I tend to take from my parents' generation is finding a way to give respect and courtesy of other folks. It's no longer simply Emily Post, rise when a lady enters the room, or look someone in the eye when you give them a handshake. But there is a common thread to being in the moment, making the connection, human and spiritual, to the other person you happen to meet, open the door for, or end up having a conversation with. The rules and context change, but I still tend to find a way to acknowledge other folks in what I do. I remember in my early 20s having a conversation with an older person, which I came to know as being a part of the baby boomer generation. I was a contractor working in Intel, and he was a blue badge. As a contractor, we were to be on our best behavior, especially since in pursuing our pre-migration surveys, some of my team had been ejected from buildings by surly engineers. This fellow wanted to engage me in a conversation as a member of Generation X as to how we viewed the world. Didn't it feel sad that everything had been explored? The forests and hollows paved, the frontiers charted, reduced to mines, logging operations, and oil rigs? Since he was genuinely, albeit quite egocentric, in attempting to engage me in conversation, I responded to his melancholy view of this perceived bleakness that met my generation. While completing my survey of his computing needs in passable penmanship, I assured him that there were still many frontiers to explore and much mystery left in the world. Where my 20s was defined by Zen and the art of motorcycle maintenance and Ishmael, my 30s became defined by what color is your parachute and who moved my cheese. One book I remember from the 90s was Generation X, Reboot, Retry, Fail, written from the perspective of a baby boomer. It spoke of a generation lost because we, Gen X, didn't have the same sense of history that the baby boomers had, a generation more unwanted than the previous generation based on statistics the author had collected and referencing such high cultural watermarks as Rosemary's Baby. He felt we were missing some defining moment that gave their generation meaning. But how does Ronald Reagan or Bill Clinton compare with Camelot and JFK? We find meaning in context, not in absolutes. Looking back, I can see that he was trying to understand postmodernism, perhaps before we had a name. There is relationships, seasons, lifetimes. There is never one distinctly separated from another. There are no absolutes. Friends come in waves and cycles. Seems every 2 or 3 years my life has eclipsed or changed what it was before. Many lifetimes of experience, if you will. Seasons provide the backdrop of events, but no limitations. Postmodernism, constant summer. I can have an orange in winter as easily as spring. Relationships are precious to me, but they exist like a sunrise. Something perhaps you see when no one else is looking, or a shared moment. What brought me to Boof is something I'm still coming to understand. First, it was to see if there could be such a thing as church and community for an atheist spiritualist and all-around contrarian. I think so. Second, it was to give my son a sense of community and a place that I didn't feel I had when growing up. A place where he could have community but still find his own path. He'll be 4 in October. No rush. Lastly, it's finding a way to interact and play a part, like showing up for a few meetings of the median group. Offer to lead for a bit when no one else stepped up. Volunteering to give a presentation in front of all of you on relationships and the differences between generations. I've attended Boof off and on for the last 5 to 6 years. What brought me back most recently is my son. My hope is for him to have longer friendships and a community he can always be a part of. I suspect he will find his story as I will find mine. Every generation and every individual will find the narrative, their story as they go through it. I am pleased to share a little bit of my story, my context, with all of you today. Perhaps take a moment to be part storyteller and part listener today to share a story.
Good morning. For my part in this presentation, I had the task in my mind of articulating the differences between my generation and previous ones. There's an assumption that generations are marked by fundamentally different norms, values, and beliefs. In other words, that we have disparate cultures. However, on a human level, through our seeking out of relationships and the building of communities based on resulting rituals, we are very much the same. Rituals are and always have been what bind us together. For 21 years, 10 months, and nearly 11 days, I have been revolving around the sun. For much of that time, I've been roaming these halls and occasionally, as Elizabeth would recall, the street outside our old church. When my mother started coming to Booth, I was about 4 or 5 years old, and this is when we were at our previous location. One day, as I was waiting rather impatiently for my mom to finish her post-sermon chatting, I went about meandering and ended up in the middle of the fairly busy street outside of our fellowship. The moment I was spotted, I was immediately swept up by our diligent minister. Elizabeth then gave me a few stern words and the only spanking I've ever received in my life. That was something she administered not as our reverend, but simply as a person who cares about me not dying, which I can appreciate. In more ways than one, this congregation has saved my life and that of my family, in particular my mother, Deborah. You did this by giving us strength and unwavering support during very difficult times. I myself have found within these walls the spiritual freedom and open-mindedness necessary to forge a path to my own becoming. At Booth, I am learning to recognize people as people and am moving away from judgments and superficialities, and this process truly is ongoing. Now, by the fourth grade, I became focused on the idea of becoming a star musician with the introduction of a fellow aspiring rock legend. Giovanni Di Bartolo, or G for short, was the person with whom I first cultivated my love of music. We've been through 3 bands together, including our current one, and have rocked many a talent show. Middle school brought the addition of another bandmate, Alan. The 3 of us have connected through our music, and they have been a strong support system for me throughout my life. A year or two into my college career, I was rooming with Alan and Braden, a friend from high school. We call him Bistro. I'm not sure why either. My connection with Braden came from a love of food, lawn games, and beer. Once a week, usually on Sundays, we would cook extravagant feasts of lasagna or stir fry or our pride and joy homemade spaghetti and red sauce. We'd gather as many friends as we could and try to fit them all around the table, often feeding them 2 or 3 times over. Then it was off to the backyard where we would play ladder golf or washers and knock back more than a few micro brews. And then, more recently, to be exact, 4 months and 10 days ago today, I met Emily Erickson here at Booth, and I have cherished her every second since. Our connection blossomed out of a common love of folk music and NPR, a mutual respect for BBC programming, and the fact that we are both so socially awkward that even the thought of small talk with strangers nearly causes paralysis. These are my rituals: the giving and partaking of food and spirits, the creation of art, music, and entertainment, the sharing of love, and a desire for spiritual community. It's quite possible that you participate in some of these same rituals as well. But when we think about that last one, spiritual community, it can get a little tricky. What do we mean by it? I consider myself an atheist / humanist / naturalist / whatever beliefs don't quite fit into an ist. Ist. Now, some of you share my thoughts, and many of you do not. Our personal religious and spiritual beliefs can be similar or vastly different. So what is it about this community that keeps us coming back? It is because, like any community, we know we are here for each other. We share with one another, eat, play, and sing, live and die together. In the words of food critic and author Ruth Reichel, pull up a chair, take a taste, come join us. Life is so endlessly delicious.